Baruch HaVoyim, welcome to this next topic of Yerucha. We're going to be discussing the halachas of Ketanim in Mischar, children, minors, together with the related topics of Cheresh, of deaf mutes, and Shaitan, insane people, if they are involved in business transactions, how we deal with their assets. So, specifically, our focus is going to be Ketanim, and it's important to put in perspective how halacha views a Ketan. A child, a Jewish child, is not a pet. They're not in anyone's specific jurisdiction. No one owns them. So they have all the rights and schusim of a regular yid. You can't chep a child just because they're children and they're vulnerable. That gives you a higher level of responsibility to them, not less. You can't embarrass children. You can't take things away from them. You can't just take advantage of their weakness. So there's responsibilities of chinuch, and the adults in their life, and the rabbeim, the parents, the bezdin has to sometimes get involved. That's their responsibility, but it's not a right per se. Chazal gave certain rights to the people who are taking care of these children, but essentially a child is a regular yid and has to be treated like a regular yid. There's even a higher level of responsibility because the child is lacking in das. There's a Gemara in Sukkah that says that you cannot promise a child, you shouldn't tell a child you're going to give them something and then not give it, because you're teaching them to lie. So obviously if it would be the type of hischaivas that even to an adult you'd be chayiv, a child is not any less. If someone promises to give somebody a small gift, then you retract on that, so you're mechusar amana. So that obviously the Gemara is not talking about someone who can be mechusar amana. So the Gemara must mean that it's a case where really you would not be mechuyiv to give it, just because of your amira, either for some technical reason you wouldn't have to give it. It's like in asmachta, it wasn't a full gemira's das. So to an adult, you'd be able to retract. I was saying to a katan, you have a higher level of responsibility because you're teaching him to become a liar, you're teaching him to l'shaker. I was called once. Someone was in a bowling alley with a child, and the kid bowled a split. So on his second bowl, the adult who took them told him, "If you get this split, I'll give you $20." So the child bowls, and on the way down, the adult says, $30, $40, $50. And then sure enough, the child gets both of the pins down and for a spare. So the adult called me and wanted to know, is he now mechuyev to give this child $60? Because he kind of told him that if he gets the split, he's going to get it. So clearly, the whole thing is an asmachta. Even the original $20 you promised him is an asmachta. So it's covered in Zimmer Zayin Cheshem Mishpat Masmachta LeKanya, and there was no Gemiras Das here, and he'd be able to retract. But I felt that at least on the $20, you'd have this Gemara. The kid, in his mind, he thought he's getting $20 if he gets the split. So I told him I believe he shouldn't give the child the $20, or else he'd be over this Gemara, be Malam Del Shaker. As far as the 30, 40, 50, 60, that I did not think that even the child really thought he meant it seriously. Instead, I thought, I didn't feel there was going to be a limda l'shakar on that. But anything, havtacha to a child, you have to an extra responsibility beyond regular cheshem mishpat to make sure that you're not going to be affecting their chinuch in a negative way. So, getting to mekach memker, what exactly are the responsibilities, what exactly are the rights and the abilities of a child? So the first question to discuss is whether or not a child actually could own anything. Could a child own something? So the answer to that is clearly yes. The Gemara tells us in Nida that even a tinek ben yoimoy is noichel umanchel. If he gets a yerusha from a parent or a relative in some way, some halachic yerusha, then it can be noichel, he actually owns that. And even if he dies that same day, the child, Rachman al-Tzan, dies that day, he's created to be Moirish to someone else, to his next of kin, that Yerusha will be passed on. So he definitely could own things. So a question becomes, and it's a relatively common question, if a child is being bar mitzvah, and bar mitzvah involves many expenses, and not everyone has the wherewithal to put out a full bar mitzvah, so some parents, they know that there's going to be a certain amount of money coming in as bar mitzvah presents. So they want to know if they can take that money and use it for the bar mitzvah expenses. So the children often don't take that too kindly. They won't think they're very entitled to that money. So the parent doesn't even want to have the discussion with the child. They just want to ask the mail, the return envelopes come in, they want to just open them up, and if there's anything of value that they'll take it for themselves, they'll give the child some of it maybe, perhaps, they'll set up an account for him. But they want to take a significant amount of money to put towards the child's very own bar mitzvah expenses. And they feel it's very justified. It's the child's bar mitzvah. It's for his sake, so why shouldn't they take it? So we have to look at, can a child get things? Besides, we establish he can own things, but how does a child actually get things? We know they don't have das, in the sense that they can make regular kinyanim like adults. That's not mechuyev mitzvahs. They don't have the, and you could see, you could clearly take advantage of children. They don't really have the full gemiras das. So how do children get things that we can say that it becomes their own? So Yerusha is clear. If they inherit things, then we can say, no, it's theirs. But what are the methods that a child can get things, gifts and wages and the present, you know, a metziah if he finds things? What are the methods of acquisition that are at the child's disposal? So we have two gemaras. We have a gemara in Gittin, Daf Samuk Dalet, Omid Beis. And the gemara says if you have a katan, it says there is really three levels by a katan. If a child reaches a point of recognition that if you offered him a rock, he'd throw it away. But if you offer him a nut, which from the outside looks similar to a rock, he would recognize that its contents are valuable, and he would hold on to it. So he's already at a point where he's zeicha la'atzmai. But he cannot be zeicha for other people, meaning that if he gets it, then he owns it. But you can't use him to be zeicha for somebody else. You can't use him to say, here, you know, make a kinyan on this, and now it'll be make kinyan on behalf of someone else. That a child cannot do. So that's how we pass. A child who reaches the level of tsuror v'zorka, if he can, he's offered a rock, he'll throw it away, and he's offered a nut, he'll hold on to it. So he can be zeicha la'atzma. He can take something and acquire it for himself. So that sounds straightforward, but there's another gemara. The other gemara also in Gittin. The gemara tells us that this is a Mishnah in Gittin Nun Tesam Beis, that when it comes to a metziah, when it comes to finding something, a cheresh shaita v'katan who finds something, it's considered theirs. Why? Because of darkei shalom. Because we don't want fights if a child's going to find a metziah that he's allowed to, that if it would be an adult he'd be allowed to keep, and someone else is going to say, oh, you're a child, and just take it away from him, so that's going to cause fights. And that we don't want. That's not a good outcome. So therefore, Chazal made a gzeirah on darkei shalom that you're not allowed to take away from the child. So that clearly implies that it's a din d'rabbana. Tzor v'zorkoi sounded like it was din d'raisa. So Tosfos in Sanhedrin, Nun Chesam Beis, Tosfos deals with this issue. The Gemara over there is clear that also that the child has money. So Tosfos asks the question, how did the child get money in the first place? So he discusses Yerusha. He also discusses whether someone else could be zeicha on behalf of the child. He says that's machlekes above basra. So that also, Paskin, you could be zeicha on behalf of a child. So it's another way you can get things. But over there, Tosfos introduces a new concept to be miash of these two Gemaras. Tosfos introduces a new concept called Das Acheres Makna. That by Metzia, there's no one giving it to the finder. He's entitled to take it, assuming it's not a Metzia that has a Chiyuv HaShavas Aveda. So he's entitled to take it, but no one's giving it to him. He's being Zeicha, so kind of Min HaHefker. So over there, a child does not have the ability to actually make it his. It's just Darkei Shalom, we don't want fights, so therefore you're not allowed to take it away from him, but it's not actually his Midaraisa. As opposed to if it's an adult giving it to him, Vir Tosfos says, Das Acheres Makna, it does make it his. It actually belongs to the cotton, even on a deraisa level. So that is the sheet of Tosfos echoed in by other Rishonim as well. So the Shach is not masking to this. He doesn't like this whole Hamtzah. He says, Tosfos, you came up with a new concept that we don't find in Shas. He doesn't like this idea of making new Chalukim that we don't find in Shas. And he gives it the opposite definition of. He says that really a child, once he's their level of tzorva zeicha ergas v'naitloi, so he could be zeicha for himself. He has a full yad. He could be zeicha for himself, even a metziah. The Gemara that says darkei shalom, he says talking about less than that. If he's even below the level of tzorva zeicha over there, that's where you have the special thing that we don't want to cause fights. But once he's able to be zeicha for himself, he's fully zeicha for himself. That's the opinion of the Shach, Simrei Shem Gimel. Ksei Zecheishin comes to back up the Rishonim, and he says a very nice chilek. He says there's two things that are necessary to acquire something. You need a yad. You have to have the halachic ability to hold something. And that, he says, a child below Torah v'zorka doesn't even have a yad. He has nothing. He's like, it's completely unaware of his ability to have things. So he does not have a yad altogether. In addition to get something, you also need the kavana. You need the kavana to be zeicha. So he says a child does not have that kavana. He has a yad. Once he's tzorva zeicha, he has the ability to make a kinyan, but he doesn't have the kavana for a kinyan. So therefore, when he's dealing with the metziah, he cannot get it to make it his midaraisa, because he's missing that yad, because he's missing the kavana. And so he has the yad, he picked it up, but he doesn't have the kavana's kinyan. So it's as if he never intends, as if someone picked something up while he was sleeping, there's no kavana's kinyan. Whereas, if there's das acheres makna, if there's an adult who's giving it to him, so then the adult is the one that has the kavana's kinyan. He's doing it for him. The adult shtel sui, the adult gives, puts the kavana into the kinyan. All the child needs to do is just have the yad, just has to accept it. So therefore, the das acheres makna that says would be the raisa, as opposed to if he just found the metziah or he found something that was hefker, that would only be his midrabanan. Al kaponim, we have a concept now of das acheres makna, which is very important, that if a katan is given something, it becomes his, and he now it belongs to him, at least on a deraisa level. There is another way a katan could own things, and that is through schirus. Taisus over there in Sanhedrin mentions that schirus, if a child works for somebody and he gets paid, so that he belongs to him also. And the Chafetz Chaim is mazir, they have to be very careful with this. There's an Isser Bal Talmud, Chafetz Chaim says, if you hired a katan to babysit for you or to do a job for you, to shovel your walk, it says you have to pay him that day. There's an Isser Bal Talmud. It's chiv deraisa. And when the child gets that money, now it's his mi deraisa, it's his money. So we'll discuss soon whether or not who has the rights to that money, but essentially, mi deraisa level, the katan has the ability to work and make money, and now you owe him that money mi deraisa. And when he gets the money, it is now his money. So now we have a way of a katan owning things, and when he gets it, it's his. So katan can own things, and no one's allowed to take it away from him. If they do take it away, they're a ganav, and Bezdin will step in and give it back to the child. But where do parents fit into this equation? What's the halacha when you have a child who has a parent? At what point do we say the child can take it for himself, and which things does the father have the right to say, no, this comes to me? So there's an important chilek here between a boy and a girl. When it comes to girls, the Torah gave a father a right to marry off a child, to marry her off, even against her will. A girl up until she reaches halachic maturity, the Torah gives the father the right as biti nesati l'shaza. So because of that, there are certain relationship, certain characteristics to the relationship between a father and a daughter that are much stronger than between a father and a son. So, for example, I say daim also, that is the father's midiraisa, but in Rabbi Sovio, the father is entitled to the maaseh daim of his daughter up until she's halachically mature. So if she works, that money is clearly belongs to the father, even if he's not supporting her, it belongs to the father. So, of course, she's allowed to use the money to pay for food. Any extra money goes to the father. Same thing if she finds a metziah. The Gemara tells us that because of Eva, we're afraid she's good with the father's going to marry her off to someone unseemly. So Mila, the Chazal were misakin that he's entitled to her metzias as well, again, even if he's not supporting her. So that's for a girl, even if he's not supporting her, this special chiyuvim, that the special rights that the father has over his daughter. And even if she gets a gift, there's a big machlekes achrenim, if the girl is given a gift, up until she reaches halachic maturity, is the father entitled to keep that gift? But all that is for if she's not being supported. If the father is supporting a child, that already puts him into a whole new category. This is already a gemara in the beginning of Metziah. Mishnah says that Av is zakai b'metziyas bono b'neis v'aktanim. A father has the schos, has the rights to the metziyas of his young children. If they find something, a metziyah that does not have to be returned, then that goes to the father. The gemara explains. It's a machlekes there. This is b'metziyah daf yubeis. Machlekes why that is. So Shmuel says the logic is because the katan doesn't really have a yad to be zeichin a metziyah for himself. It involves the discussion that we had before. But he says, but over here, even if the katan technically could have a yad, the way it works is when the katan picks something up in aveda, he quickly brings it to his father. So even though technically maybe he could be zeichin himself, if it was a yasim, he'd be able to be zeichin it. But if he has a father, then the way it works, he's going to take it and he's going to right away give it over to his father to take care of. So it's Keely picked it up al das the father. Mela said, this is the opinion of Shmuel, that that's the reason why a katan, his metziah, goes to his father. Rabbi Echanan argues. Rabbi Echanan says that katan is not to be taken literally. When the Mishnah says that the metziahs of a katan go to the father, essentially what it was saying is that the father who is supporting the child is entitled to his metziah, and it's because of Eva. it would definitely cause contention if the father is supporting the child. Now the child goes and finds this, a small fortune, and he hides it under his own mattress and doesn't let his father touch it. Father's going to say, wait, what do I need this for? Why am I feeding you if you're sitting on all this money? So therefore, Chazal made it across the board gzeira that any child is being supported by the parent, those metzias belong to the parent. And Rechon says, it's even if he's not a katan. It has nothing to do with the level of katan, with his age. It has to do with support versus non-support. If he's being supported by the parent, if he or she is being supported by the parent, then their metzias go to the father. If they're not being supported by the parent, then their metzias go to themselves, even if they're younger than 13 or 12. If they're not being supported, then they get to keep their metzias. And that is the halacha of Azir Rechnon, that a metzia that's found by a child is being supported by a parent goes to the parent. If the child is not being supported, then it belongs to the child. Now, as far as matanis, that's a little bit trickier. There is a Ramban who says that a matana that's given to a child belongs to the child. Now, it's between him and the adult who gave him this present. There's nothing to do with the father. There's no real basis for Ava. It's not like the child himself decided to squirrel something away. It was a matana that was given to the child, so now it belongs to the child. However, Mukiyesev quotes the Ran not like that. Mukiyesev, the Ran says that the child doesn't have enough of a yad to take matzias for himself, and not only that, to take matanas for himself, a gift that's given to the child, that's his lashon. His lashon is he doesn't have a yad for it. And moreover, he says, even if the father gave him a present, it still belongs to the father. It doesn't leave the jurisdiction of the child. So obviously, there's no Eva if the father himself gave the kid a present, so then where's the Eva? And yet, he says he doesn't have a yad to take that present for himself. So what does that mean? So the Sma explains this, Sma in Siman Reish Ayin. He says that it's really, there's taka no Eva by a katan, by a matana. The gift was given to the child, so the gift was given with the intent that the child should have it. However, the presumption is that when you give a child a present, that child is being samach hashulchan aviv, that child is being supported by a father, and you know that children typically don't take care of themselves, so any adult who's giving that child a present is doing it al das the father, is doing it that the father should really be the one taking responsibility for this present. And it's the mindset. When you give a child something, you don't want to have the father calling and screaming at you that, why are you giving my child this? There's an automatic presumption that that you're giving it to the child, and he's going to either have the discussion with the parent, or eventually the parent will find out about it, and the parent will decide, is this good for the kid or not good for the kid? So that is the umdana. The umdana is every time a child is given a present, if he's being supported by the parent, then it's being given al das the parent. Therefore, the parent has the right to decide what to do with it. Whereas, if the kid's already a gadol, so then he has a yad, meaning that he already has his own ability to decide things for himself. So there we say the opposite. Even if he's being supported by the father, on a matana there's no eva, so even if he's being supported by the father, once the kid is bar mitzvah, then it belongs to the child. And the child can essentially do what he wants with it. So that's when it comes to matanas. There's a related discussion when it comes to ma'aseh yadayim. If a child works, who owns the ma'aseh yadayim? So there are rishonim that say that ma'aseh yadayim belongs to the katan. The eva doesn't apply to ma'aseh yadayim because the kid worked for it. This is not like a metzia that he found and he's just taking for himself. He worked for this money, so a parent is not allowed to hurt a child. They can't put the child through the ringer just for no reason, unless for the chinuch of the child, then there's certain abilities that they're allowed to do if it's solely for the benefit of the child. But if just them to have the child work hard for no reason, a parent can't do that. Can't be mitzara the child for no reason. So here, if the child put himself to work and made money, so the summary should say that belongs to the father. It belongs to the child. However, the Rajba and other Rishayim say that Ma'aseh Yadayim is included in the Gzera, and Ma'aseh Yadayim does go to the father as well. If the child is being supported, then the Ma'aseh Yadayim does belong to the father. The Ramah quotes them. The Ramah says that it belongs to the father, even though Kveger quotes Chelkim, but the Ramah goes with the Shittas that it belongs to the father. However, with the one exception, he says that the father doesn't actually ask for the money. The father lets the child have it, and then the parent dies, the child is allowed to keep it. The other Yarshim can't come and say that, the father just let you hold on to it, but really, it really belonged to him. If the father passed away and never asked the child for the money, then the child is allowed to keep that money. But until then, the father can say, I appreciate that you worked for it, thanks for all your help, and he can take that money for himself. So going back to our bar mitzvah case. So if any matanas that come to this bar mitzvah bachar before the bar mitzvah, so there it's pretty clear that the father has the right to take it. It's clearly being given al daita, like we said. And therefore, he can take that money and decide that he can use it for anything, really. He doesn't have to use it with bar mitzvah. If it's given al das the father can take it and just use it and do whatever he wants with it. The father is entitled to use that matana for whatever he wants. If it was given after the bar mitzvah, or even at the bar mitzvah, once the kid already became a galal, so that's already not simple at all. There, the presumption is, unless it was behedi given al das the father, there the presumption is that it was given al das the kid. So there, it's really not simple. Pashas belongs to the child, and the child gets to choose what he wants to do with it. There is going to be a very big tension over here, because lemaisa, if the father is supporting the child, he's not really mechuyav to support this child. Once the child is 6 years old, the meikra din, the parent is not mechuyav to support the child. So now there is a well-known tshuva from Rav Moshe, that's what Gary Meiser Ksafim, whether or not you're allowed to use your Meiser money to support your children. And he says that as long as the parents are married to each other, so then as part of the marriage obligation to your wife, you're mechuyav to support your children. That's part of the chiyuv ksuba, he says, is to support the children for as long as they're living at home. But that's his chiyuv to his wife, it's not a chiyuv to the child. So if the wife is on board with this, that she's saying, you know, this is money that would be better spent elsewhere and not given to the child, so he's not really mechuyav to feed the child. Or definitely not to make him a bar mitzvah, definitely not to have pictures and music and flowers and whatever. So the child might decide to, you know, say, I want to keep my bar mitzvah money, but the parent could turn around and say, okay, you want to keep your money, fine, but then we're not having music at the bar mitzvah. Or going forward, from now on, you're going to have to pay room and board. You're going to have to pay rent. You're going to have to pay for your supper every night. You're going to have to pay for your laundry. So that's not going to end well. So the child is very much from a monetary perspective, he's definitely at a disadvantage. If he wants to play hardball, then he's going to lose that battle. So whether the parent could do it without even asking the child, that's already tricky, because the parent is really, he's like an apotropos at this point. And in apotropos, even though a halachic apotropos, we'll discuss this in the fourth year, halachic apotropos does have the right to buy and sell even without the consent of the person he's being apotropos for. That's the executor's right and privilege, is that's what he's expected to do, is to buy and sell, even if the person is incapacitated. But still, over here is not quite like that, because over here you're dealing with a galal, and the rule is apotropos adiknani loymuk minan. We don't really make an apotropos, a halachic apotropos. We don't really appoint for an adult. So if a child who's 14 years old would decide he's moving out of the house and he's taking all his assets with him, it's not clear at all that a parent would have any legal ability to stop him. He could say, no thank you, I'm not interested in your apotropsis, so I'm going off on my own. And so halachically, he would have the right to do that. An apotropos can't lock up a child, and he's not really a halachic legal apotropos to a gadol. A gadol can make his own decisions. Kolzman, he is living there, so there's a tshuva to advise about an apotropos for a gadol, for someone who's already appointed an apotropos. L'chare, that may apply to a parent. But it's not, at this point, maybe we'll go back to it in the fourth year, but it's not totally clear. So it would make sense that if the parent wants to do this post-bar mitzvah, it would make sense they would have to have the conversation with the child. Now, again, like we said, the child is at a disadvantage. The child is not going to be able to walk away with this money and still expect to be supported and get tuition and everything else. But just not for the father just usurp it and just decide what he wants to do with it, that already is not so clear, and I would think they should have a conversation as going forward about the monetary arrangements. If it's, you know, if whatever's normal, I think we could say that the parent is allowed to be a normal parent and they don't have to double check with the child and everything. But to take away gift money that was specifically given to the child, that's not necessarily the regular way of doing things. So it makes sense that they should have the conversation before he does that.